Blog Talk Radio.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Zurian Show. As always, we hope that we find you in the best of health, wealth, happiness, and good spirits. And I know good spirits is a state of mind, and we're always working on trying to improve our states of mind, aren't we? Anyway, today, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to talk about basically a topic that kind of came up happenstantially. And when I say it came up by happenstance, basically what I mean is that I was talking with, first off, today's show is on mindset. I was talking to two young men that are actually about the same age, about the same level of education, about the same overall background, pretty much grew up in pretty much the same area. However, both gentlemen had very different mindsets, even though they had had a lot of the same experiences. And I thought that that was incredible that, you know, two people basically so close together in the sense of, you know, both had a mother and father that were around that raised them, both grew up in very similar socioeconomical environment as far as, you know, finance. Again, they grew up pretty much in the same school area, school district, grew up, their parents' religious backgrounds are about the same. And all of these different variables, all of these different similarities. But even with all of these similarities, just like twins that may be born in the same area, both of these young men were totally different. Their mindsets were totally different. Their way of dealing with things were totally different. Their outlook to the future, their outlook to the present, you know, basically their past and their, again, upbringing were very, very similar. Very, very similar. I mean, they went to the same school. They had pretty much the same teachers, all of the above. However, if you talk to one and then you talk to the other, you know, it was just so different. I mean, these guys even listened to the same music. So you can't say that that's the determining factor. You know, they grew up in the same place. They, in some cases, dated some of the same girls, you know, or young ladies. However, again, these two gentlemen were just so different. They were such polar opposites when it came to their mindset, when it came to their overall outlook of life and the world around them. Now, as we all know, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes as we go through life. And, you know, hopefully we learn from those mistakes. And even in this particular instance, you know, when you talk about the lessons in life and the golden nuggets that we obtain as we go through life, these two gentlemen were very different, even in that aspect. And when I say different, you'll see as I talk about them. I was going to actually have the two of them on the show, but then I thought about it, and I thought that, you know, it's probably better if I do it in a narrative type of way, because that way I'm not going to embarrass either one. Plus that sometimes when people are interviewed and they're interviewed about their lives, the story changes. You know, the impression changes, the message gets changed, because nobody wants to look bad and nobody wants to be put out there. So we're doing the show with me basically telling you the story. Now, today's show, if you'd like to call in, if you'd like to have some comments or anything like that, you're more than welcome to. We're going to welcome callers. However, I do ask that you keep your questions short, and that if you get the answer to your question, we'd appreciate it if you would text in and let the rest of the world know that, you know, you understand and that we're all moving on the same sheet of music. Either way, I have two young men, both in their 20s, that I talked to. Again, both went to the same high schools, around the same age, dated the same girls, same teachers, same experiences, almost the same as if they were twins. And both gentlemen, you know, were a little smarter than, or excuse me, thought they were a little smarter than they were. So, you know, some things happened. What ended up happening is both gentlemen ended up getting on the wrong side of the law. And as they both got on the wrong side of the law, of course, what ended up happening? There's an old saying, and the law won. Well, in this case, the same thing happened. Two young men that had everything to look forward to in their life, and still do, both got on the wrong side of the law, and the law won. The law caught up with them. Both gentlemen ended up having to do some time. Both young men ended up having to do a couple of years in incarcerated. You know, both ended up getting, you know, pretty much a criminal record. However, both gentlemen didn't go to the same institution. However, they still experienced the same thing because they experienced the same level of institution. They experienced the same type of institution. However, both gentlemen looked at that event differently, where one gentleman saw the experience as a opportunity to grow and develop and to take it in stride and understand that he was paying his debt for a mistake that he made. He tried to make the best of the time that he had there. The other gentleman, who again was going through the same experience, was bitter. Now, both gentlemen, of course, were bitter in the end. Neither gentleman wanted to do time. Neither gentleman wanted to really experience incarceration. And neither gentleman in the beginning believed that they truly got a fair deal, even though both of them probably got some of the more minimal sides of time. Even though they didn't get a day, they didn't get a week, both gentlemen got, we'll say, 1 to 2 years. But the interesting thing about the entire process, like I said, is that one gentleman looked at it as, I did something wrong. I shouldn't have done it. I should have gotten out. I didn't get out. I got caught. This is the payment. Well, now that I'm in here, what can I do to make this better? Not what can I do to become a member of the system. What can I do to make me better? What classes can I take? What programs can I take? Now, mind you, they went in there with that mindset, but they also went in there not of their own mind. And when I say they went in there not of their own mind, in the beginning, they were given some pretty sound advice. And up until that point, they really didn't take that advice. They moved on doing what they were doing, and they figured that they could just kind of, I guess you can say, talk their way through it. And they took some bum advice. That bum advice got at least one of them that approximately 2 years. If that person had listened, they probably would have gotten off quite a bit better. But instead of them listening to a mature, experienced adult that had their best interest, what did that young man do? He listened to his friends. He listened to people that did not really care about him as a person, and those people gave him erroneous and incorrect information, which got him that time. Okay, for one gentleman, that was lesson one. The other gentleman did the same thing. And instead of that gentleman understanding that the information that he got was misinformation, he then again blamed the system. He then again blamed everybody but him for what he did. This gentleman did not take true responsibility for what had happened. This gentleman did not learn anything from his initial interaction at that level with law enforcement. Now, both gentlemen had also had minor incidents with law enforcement before, but unfortunately, they thought, both of them, that they were smarter than the system. Like I said, the law won. Well, again, the interesting thing in it was that one experienced a paradigm shift. They realized that you, and two, that the system has a whole lot of processes in place to catch you, and that eventually you'll get caught. This young man took the information that he got, and he moved forward. He moved forward, and he started doing positive things to try to make his time go better. He read books. He tried to take as many courses as he could. He tried to get other information. He started trying to do things to better himself so that when he came out, he would be ready for the world at hand. The other gentleman didn't do that. He hung out with the wrong types of people, which there were plenty of, considering the place that he was. He also did a lot of non-productive things. You know, did the jail gamble, did the jail barter, you know, again, ran around with people that were basically career criminals. And he wasn't necessarily a career criminal yet. In the end, you know, they both did their time. One did his time with a bunch of infractions, which lengthened his time a little bit longer, and the other one did his time with minimal infractions, and it actually netted him getting out a little bit sooner. After their experience, one went away from it, again, blaming the world for everything that went wrong in his life. The other one said, okay, from this, I know that I can't keep doing the stupid things that I've been doing. I come from a solid background. I come from a good family. I have people that love me and care for me and trust me, and I've already violated that trust and that caring to a certain level. I don't want to take that violation any further. He learned from it. There was a saying once that I heard from Les Brown. Les Brown is a motivational speaker. Les Brown said, two men look through prison bars. One sees the mud, the other sees the stars. This story or this talk is the perfect example of that particular situation. Both men looked through prison bars. One saw the mud, as in no hope, nothing that he could do. Life was totally trashed, and it was going to stay trashed, and he was going to beat the system. And the other one saw the stars. Life had all the possibilities that it could possibly have, and all he had to do was apply himself, and he could move forward. It was not easy for either gentleman. However, let's go on with the story. The young man that got out earlier, of course, because he had a good working experience and was working jobs, he was able to retain one of the jobs in which he had. And he is still working on that job as we speak. This gentleman also started doing the things necessary to help him out. Now, I'm not saying that he didn't have other little bumps. There was still some arrogance in him where his parents or other people that loved him had to kind of step in. But because they stepped in and reinforced that love and support for him, he was able to pretty much, after going through, like, let's say, the halfway house experience, because that's usually what happens after you get out of jail, he was able to then eventually go back home. Okay? And because of his rapport in his institution and the way he conducted himself when he was in his halfway house, you know, and the way that he conducted himself in front of his parole officer, he was able to, again, like I said, get a job based on his work ethic before and move on with his life. Now that same young man is in school. That same young man is working on getting his degree. And that same young man has got a more calmer and more clearer scope and idea of how the world works. The other young man came out, and what did he do? He went right back to running around the people that assisted him in getting in trouble in the first place. So he, of course, is back in trouble with the law. He, of course, has already been, you know, violated by his probation officer, or excuse me, given several warnings, and probably will be violated by his probation officer for not complying with the rules. He has continued to destroy the relationship with the people that do care about him over the people that truly don't, because this is one of those people, like most of us, that does not want to be wrong. You know, people will swim oceans and climb mountains to not be wrong. And as I've said before, and I'll say again, being right is overrated, Blog Talk. Being right means nothing if you still lose. To be right and lose is not good. okay? Because none of us are trying to lose. And again, like I said, right now this young man, I talked to his PO, who was pretty candid. You know, I don't really know the man from a can of paint, but I got to meet him one day when I was talking with the young man, and I talked to him off the record, and pretty much the young man said that, oh, yeah, he's going to get violated. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. To where I talked to the other young man's PO, and he's like, yeah, he's a fine young man. He's doing a great job, and, you know, he's one of the people I have to spend the least time worrying about. He's one of the people who I have to least worry about dealing with, and he's somebody that no matter what has transpired, whatever I've asked of him, he's complied with. So he's making my job easy, which in his line of work is a blessing because a lot of people are what you would call institutionalized. But I just really wanted to share that with anybody that wanted to listen to it, Blog Talk, because it's the mindset. One man has a positive mindset. He's going to do whatever he needs to do to succeed in a positive way and to keep him on the straight and narrow. However, the other one still believes that he's going to be able to do it by hook or by crook, by cheating, by robbing, by doing other things that are negative. And it's just really interesting to see the mindset. And that mindset also applies to us that aren't criminals or haven't been arrested or haven't just, you know, made some really bad decisions in the sense of dealing with the law and things like that, or just life in general. Because, ladies and gentlemen, you've heard me say this before, the same wind blows on us all. If you're in a relationship and that relationship is toxic, you staying in a toxic relationship isn't going to make it a non-toxic relationship. If you're in a job that's going nowhere, if you're doing something that you hate, you know, not Stephen Covey, the gentleman that wrote Think and Grow Rich, Napoleon Hill. Napoleon Hill talked about his mentor. And when he talked about his mentor, one of the phrases that I remember is the gentleman said that I would rather be poor doing what I love than miserable doing what I, than rich doing what I hate. And that's a very strong sentiment. Most people are doing what they hate, and they're selling their souls, literally, for a paycheck. They're selling their souls for money, and then they want to be upset and bitter and miserable when the things that they want they can't have, when the things that actually interest them are not done, when someone else succeeds, when they had also every opportunity to succeed, however, they failed to seize that opportunity. If you refuse to seize the opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, how can you be bitter? How can you be mad? If you refuse to step out and take a chance, if you refuse to show courage and faith in yourself, if you don't believe in you, who do you expect will believe in you? If you're not willing to step out on faith based on logical action and effort, then how do you expect to get anywhere? Again, I talked to another young man. He did 10 years of his life in a federal institution. This young man has since reconnected with his family and his children. He has reconnected with his in-laws. He has gone back to school. He has gotten his license in the profession of his choice. He has gone through all of the hurdles and obstacles that he needs to do to move forward. Now, I'm not saying that his life is easy right now because there's still 10 years of his life that he's missed. However, this young man's mindset is so forward and so positive that he's going to eventually get to the goals that he needs to get. It's not going to be easy. It took him 10 years of a very bad experience to understand that the possibility of a good experience is there. But here's the point. What about all of us that haven't been locked up for 10 years? What about all of us that haven't done any time in jail or in prison? What about all of us that have had and are still having every opportunity possible, however we wake up miserable, we go to sleep miserable, and then we start the new day miserable day after day, and we share that misery with everyone that we possibly can? What is our problem? Again, mindset. The people that are doing these things do not have a positive mindset. The people that are doing these things are not looking at the big picture. And they're so myopic in their views, and their attitudes are so screwy that they're doing things to sabotage their entire lives. They're taking the greatest gift in life, in the world, away from them. And the greatest gift in the world is life. Because once you're alive, you can do something. As long as you're breathing, you have the opportunity to change everything that's going on for the better or the worse. Most people psychologically, in their minds, in their habits, in the things that they do, choose the wrong option. You know, you've got a road that you can go down. You can go down First Street, Second Street, or Third Street. Most people are going to go down First Street, Second Street, or Third Street, not realizing that there's a Fourth Street, and that Fourth Street is the unknown. That Fourth Street is opportunity. That Fourth Street is something that can give them everything that they want if they would only turn around and see it. If they would only take the information that they're getting, evaluate it with a non-biased opinion, and then move forward with the proper actions so that they can reap the benefits. Going to school is not it. Having a degree is not it. Giving people positive comments is not it. It's taking action, and from that action, getting the positive results and making the adjustments that you need to make so that you can live the life that you want to live. Again, I just gave you three different examples. And that 10-year example, that goes for the same guy that gets out after doing 10 years in prison and goes right back to selling dope, goes right back to hanging out with that same crowd. Do you know that most people that escape from prison, all they need to do is go back to that person's old neighborhood and they will find them there? They don't even have to look. You know, we all hear these stories about, you know, them doing these manhunts and these guys going here and going there. Well, if the perp is a younger perp, you know, and in some cases an older perp, the only thing that they know is the neighborhood that they grew up in. Their thought pattern is so myopic that they think they're going to be able to run the same streets that they got arrested on and actually stay out. Plus that, what happens? Eventually, you're going to get older. The law is going to win. But it's just amazing. So today's show is on mindset. Now, the example that I gave was somebody in prison, but I also came back and broke that example down to people that aren't in prison, people that are in a mental prison. And their mental prison, there is no bars. They create their own bars. They create their own jailers. They create their own handcuffs. They create their own shackles. They create their own barred and locked doors. They create their own issues, problems, aggravations, miseries, all of the above. And that's the true sad thing, because at least the people that are locked up had to be locked up. What about those of us that are locked up in our own heads? What about those of us that don't see any opportunity and think that we've got to work for some particular boss, or think that because we're there, we're somebody's gift? Again, that employer that hired you, guess what? That employer hired you because he had a dream. But guess what? That employer probably worked for somebody else, and he worked hard enough, or she worked hard enough, to get to the level to where they could open up their own stores, to where they could put their own shingle up on the wall, and then from there create what? More jobs and opportunities for you. So when I talk about finding your own way, I'm not saying to cheat your employer in any way. Give them everything that they've paid you for. Keep all of your promises. If you said that you were going to do the best job you can possibly do, by all means, do the best job that you can possibly do for them. But also understand that you also need to do the best job for you. You need to do the best job for your family. You need to do the best job for the people that you're also caring for. And that job is a stepping stone until you can create your own business, to where you can create your own brand, to where you can grow and develop and do the same thing that your supervisor, or if you want to call him your boss, has done and find success. Everybody is trying to succeed. Everybody is trying to go forward. Everybody is looking to do better. The funny thing is only a few people are actually taking action. A lot of people have knowledge, but knowledge not used is a waste. Why? Because if it's not used, it's useless knowledge. It's really that simple. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're in sales and you want to sell, then guess what? You need to get in contact with as many people as you possibly can. If your job is to build widgets, then you need to build as many quality widgets as you possibly can. And if you really want to help people, then you need to share information that's going to help those people grow. Even if they're not really willing to help themselves grow, you do your part. Don't worry about them doing theirs. You just keep doing your part, and guess what? You'll be a better person for it. Again, I hope that this little talk that we had about mindset was one that people can kind of gravitate to, because it doesn't just apply to somebody that's locked up, not physically locked up. It applies to all of us. It applies to us taking responsibility for what's going on in our lives and then doing the things we need to do to bring the joy that we say we want to fruition, to bring the happiness that we say we want to fruition. Again, somebody that's watching football or basketball or hockey, guess what? That's some precious time, and you just might be wasting it. That game is not going to change or affect your life. It's affecting the people that are actually playing it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to get off the couch and get into our own game. We need to stop being bed quarterbacks and couch quarterbacks, and we need to start calling our own calls. We need to start catching our own passes and throwing our own passes. We need to get into the end zone of life. We need to get into the goal of life. We need to get in and into the basket of life. The only way that you can get into these things is by being in the game. If you're watching the game, you're not in the game. So we need to all work on trying to get into the game. We all need to work on trying to make our lives the best life possible, and we need to take action in that goal. We need to put in the effort that we need to put in so that we can reap the results that we want to reap. Because guess what? A beautiful and fantastic and wonderful and amazing life is waiting for you if you are willing to do the things necessary to put you in that pocket. That's going to take effort. That's going to take drive. That's going to take persistence. That's going to take dedication. That's going to take you getting off your butt and doing what you need to do. Anyway, I think I've driven that particular point home with everybody that's listening to the show. As always, thank you for listening to The Zurian Show. It is always an honor to listen to each and every, to get to speak to each and every one of you. And it's truly a pleasure for me. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to this show, tomorrow's show, we're going to talk to the North Virginia Buffaloes. And in that talk with the Northern Virginia Buffalo Soldiers, what they are doing is they are organizing a drive, not a drive. They put in a bill to create a commemorative flag for the Buffalo Soldiers of history from 1866. The Buffalo Soldiers were the first African Americans to be basically accepted into the United States military, into the Army. And that created the 9th and the 10th Cavalry. Ladies and gentlemen, we would truly appreciate it and share it with everyone that you can. It's going to be a great show. It's going to air at 6 o'clock tomorrow, which is Thursday, January 26th. Thank you very much, and it'll be here on the Zurian Show on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you very much, and have a great day, great life, and understand that if it's going to be, it's up to you. So say to yourself, if it's going to be, it's up to me, and you are that me. Again, please tune in to the show, and we look forward to, as always, bringing you information that is positive, upbeat, and that is helpful to you and yours. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening to the show today, and thank you, Blog Talk, for providing the service. Take care.